listening to Bits of Me, the podcast about women's bodies, all the things we should know about them, and all the stories behind them. This week, I talked to Dee Nocton, a mother of two who's had a mastectomy. She shares her story of having papillomas and lobectomies, of a short but important stint at breastfeeding, of making the decision to have a mastectomy, and of navigating the loss of a breast alongside the gratitude over the fact that she didn't have cancer. If you've listened to Bits of Me before, you'll know that there's a Patreon where you can support the making of the podcast from as little as €2 a month. To those of you who are already signed up, thank you so much for the support. Tell me how it all started. You were pregnant back in 2014, was it?
Yeah, so it started from what I know it started in 2013 when I was I fell pregnant in 2013, and it was a very exciting time, and my right breast just behaved differently to my left during the pregnancy, in that about 2 weeks at the very, very early stages of the pregnancy, I was having kind of a discharge, or like kind of a yellowy kind of like colostrum. I wasn't worried about it because I'd never been pregnant before, and yeah. I didn't know, you know. And I looked it up in my pregnancy book, and it said, you know, it was like that liquid gold, they call it, you know, the colostrum. So, but it was so early on in the pregnancy, you know, and I just thought it was just a little bit, you know, more excited than the other one, you know. Yeah. So I didn't get alarmed by it. I was just so happy with the experience of being pregnant as well, and everything was great, you know. And then kind of into the pregnancy, I remember just, it's funny, by, you know, doing this interview with you, Lenny, things have come back to me that I'd kind of forgotten, you know.
Of course, yeah.
And the next, I suppose, kind of flag or indicator was the winter of 2013. I remember waking in the night with a very intense pain again in my right breast.
Right.
I bolted in the bed, and it was like a popping or a bursting sensation. And it was, I can remember it now. I can see myself there kind of clutching, going, what's this? Oh my goodness. And as quick as it came, it went, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I sailed away again into what was getting into the second trimester, getting bigger, getting closer. And it was St. Stephen's Day. I woke and there was blood on the top of the duvet.
Yeah.
A spotting of blood. And I went, oh my goodness, what's this? And I was home in the west of Ireland, and my maternity hospital is in Dublin because I live in the east coast. And I it was Christmas time, and I rang the hospital, and they were quite perplexed by it, to be honest. They were like, are you sure? Did you cut something? Did you bang? What happened?
Yeah.
I said, listen, I just woke up. And now, just to see, like, the discharge had been kind of coming along all that time, that kind of yellowy brown intermittently, you know.
Yeah.
And I had kind of said it in antenatal appointments, but they were like, look, the breasts go through lots of changes, you know, like, you know, and they have a formula to follow in your appointment, and you know that everything was well otherwise. So
yeah,
you know, I just went along with that, and it was fine. But the blood was we're in a different level now. And they said, look, we'll make a note of it here, come up when you're up after Christmas for your antenatal appointments, you know, and we'll look at it there to see. And it stopped, you know. And next thing you know, it's January, and I go up to for my appointment, and one of the nurses remembered me, and she said, look, has it stopped? And it had stopped bleeding, you know. And she goes, well, look, we don't need to say anything anyway. And that's, you know, and that made sense at the time.
Of
like
course.
it was there, it was gone. You know, I just hoped it would never come back again.
Yeah.
You know, it was maybe one of those things, you know. And your breasts are very tender when you're pregnant as well. Like, maybe I did bash it in the night, you know, while I was turning.
Yeah.
Who knows? I didn't, you know, but that wasn't the case at all. But you try and find these solutions in your mind. So then I remember this quite vividly as well. I came home from work, it was a Friday evening, and my husband was away and I was watching The Late Late Show. And Evelyn O'Rourke was being interviewed at the time about having breast cancer while pregnant, and I was glued to it, as you can imagine, right, being heavily pregnant at the time. And I just loved the interview and I loved just watching her. And then as I was looking down, I could feel I was bleeding, and I was bleeding quite heavily from my right breast, like clotting. And I just knew by watching that story, I just thought the timing of that and the timing of this, that, you know, the medics need to hear me now. They need to, and I need to kind of up the ante on it as well. You know, like, look, this is happening to me. So what I did then is I rang my GP, I got in touch with my GP, and I actually brought my clothes from the Friday night to the GP surgery, because my breast was sometimes making me out to be a liar.
Exactly.
And because it would be like, what are you talking about? They're fine, I don't see any discharge, what are you on about, you know? So I brought them with me, and my GP, who is a very mature, very experienced woman, her face dropped and she said, Dee, I have to send you immediately to St. Vincent's. You have to go. This is urgent.
And how did you feel then? Were you scared?
Do you know what? I actually wasn't scared. And it's not to say that I didn't have fear in me, but I wasn't scared because I thought, thank goodness we're getting to the root of it. And I was delighted that I was being heard and believed. Like, I knew, like, I don't have any blame or, God, we should have happened earlier. It is the way it is. But it was like, okay, now we're on it now together. You see what I see, you know, and let's get rocking and rolling here now and find out what this is about. So I went to the triple assessment unit in St. Vincent's, who were fabulous. And it turned out to be, after being examined there and going through that process, it appeared to be an interductal papilloma. And papillomas, if you want me to explain that, they are common. They are benign tumours, benign type tumours or growths that grow within the milk ducts of your breast and can grow within the general breast tissue as well. Mine was quite significant, and they can cause bloody pinkish discharge, kind of browny pinky. They can have that fluid indicator. They can grow near the nipple, or they can grow as a solitary mass back at the rear of the breast, if that makes sense. So that's what it was. Delighted that it wasn't a cancer indicator. Delighted, my husband was delighted, it was all good. And they said, look, you're pregnant, we'll have to wait 10 weeks post pregnancy for your milk to be clear, you know, all of that, and then we will remove it. It needs to be taken out. The best that the protocol for these is to remove them. So I accepted that, and on I went, you know, and had a lovely baby boy.
And you were breastfeeding him, or you were trying to breastfeed him, right?
So I was I was all for the breastfeeding, and I was very well capable of doing it, in that I had plenty to offer. The nurses were very happy with me, and one of them said, God, you could breastfeed for Ireland. You know, I was a very small girl, but all of a sudden I had these very, you know, beautiful kind of breasts to feed my baby. But I could only feed from one, because the right breast had to be left alone, because it was going for surgery, and I was bleeding as well. There was still the bloody discharge, was still, you know, the show that was still happening. But the problem with that, with the breastfeeding issue, and it was only when everyone was nice to me, a lovely paediatrician came in and she said, look, you are so euphoric now and you've had a lovely baby and it's excellent, but you are going to have surgery in about 10 weeks time, and your breasts, actually another doctor said it to me as well, your breasts work like wheels of a bicycle. you know, when they're peddling. Mm. So you can't expect one to work and then the other just says, that's okay, I'll just sit here and rest.
Yeah.
While, you know, it still was producing milk because that was what its job was to do. So I had to stop then. I got to breastfeed for a week from my left breast, and I got to breastfeed when I came home for a few days, I think, and pump as well. And then I said my goodbyes to it, you know, and it was a lovely experience. And it is a lovely thing to be able to breastfeed if it's for you and if it works out for baby and mammy. And in my case, it did for a little while, and I'm delighted I had that. I really am. And yeah, so I had to get ready for surgery. So that was what had to take paramount there, you know. So yeah.
And then you had the lobectomy. What was that like?
It was fine. You know, it was fine. I do remember my consultant saying to me afterwards, like, oh, he said, I could hold it in my hand. I'd never seen anything that size in my career before. Yeah. He was showing it to the, and that's fun. That's learning. He was showing it to the student or student nurses, or showing it to whoever was on duty that day that worked with him. And yeah, like I was like, wow, like not an amazing thing, like as well. Yeah. Like not everything has to be scary. Like I thought that was the end of the show then, you know, like it's out. It's,
of course,
it was really big. You'd never seen anything like that before. Wow, like, that's it now. Thanks very much. See, you know, so I think I might have lost a little bit of feeling around my nipple around then. I'm not sure. Was it that lumpectomy or the ones that followed after? But I was just delighted. I couldn't wait to get home to my baby. He was 10 weeks old, and I got bounced out of the hospital, and, you know, yeah.
And how did you feel, if you don't mind me asking, about your breast after that? Was there any kind of, in terms of how you felt about your body, what was that like coming home and I suppose looking maybe a little bit different?
I was okay about my breast at that point. It seemed to look okay to me. I mean, I tried to remember there might have been a little bit of like sutures and the tracks that you see from that and there might have been a bit of numbing, perhaps, because it was significant size that they had to excise, you know. So, but I did feel like, I suppose after having a baby as well, maybe I felt like my body wasn't good enough. Like maybe I had, that there was something wrong with me. Do you know, like why am I having this? Why am I going through this experience a little bit? Like, you know, I did, I suppose, grieve the breastfeeding piece. I wanted to go all natural. I, you know, you have all these plans, but like that's life, you know, it comes along and, you know, you have to roll with the punches. And yeah, I just felt a kind of a bit of a low, like a kind of a quiet low, like, what's wrong with me? Like, why am I different? You know, that little bit, you know, and that then not having any other people like me that had it that I knew of, you know. Yeah. You know.
And was it during your second pregnancy then that something else was found again?
Yes. So second pregnancy, papillomas were the last thing I was thinking of. I had no discharge. I had no bursts of pain in the middle of the night that I described earlier to you. I sailed away. I was busy mom to a toddler. It was just like, yeah, I'm pregnant, right? When we, you know, just went through the motions. And I gave birth to another baby boy, lovely baby Theo. And the night of that I gave birth, this lovely nurse, really, really nice nurse, the night duty nurse, and she remembered me. And she said, you're the girl with the funny boobs that could only breastfeed with one and we couldn't allow you to do the other. She was a douche. Like, I was mad about her and she was mad about me. We just really clicked, you know. And I said, oh yeah, I'm that one, yeah. And she said, like, it's the middle of the night, like, and it was dark as well, and we're having this kind of girly chat at the side of the beds. Like, she was lovely. I think she brought me a cup of tea and everything. She was just really kind. And she was an older woman, like, you know, and experienced, mature. And she said, do you mind if I have a look? And can I examine it? And like, I had no problem with that at all. Like, I was like, absolutely, like, you know, tell me what you think. And, you know, because like you said, you had a lumpectomy, does it look different? Now, she actually didn't see it, it was dark. So she was using her hands, you know, or maybe there was a little, you know, the little light that's over your hospital bed. And because the baby was sleeping, and she said, I'm really sorry, dear, but there's actually another lump there. And all of a sudden, the party was over. The fun and games, the crack. I was like, we were just having a laugh. Like you're my friend, you know. Of course, she's my friend. She was just doing her job. But it was like, I didn't sleep a wink that night. I didn't sleep right at all. I couldn't believe it. I was, how could this be here again? And I kind of knew it was papilloma. You know, I was well enough in the pregnancy, as you know, I was just dumbfounded, Linnea. I was just absolutely gobsmacked. And then my consultant came in the morning, you know, they check, and I just, you know, gave the news, and I'm sure it went through the night station or the nurse's station as well. And it was all systems go. It was like, you've got to go to James's, where you have to get over there as soon as possible. And, I remember like being outside the hospital in my pajamas with the, you know, the little wristband that they give you, like, and like, I just felt like a weirdo, like at the bus stop, you know, and I'm waiting for my husband to pick me up, and he's left a toddler at home, and it was just all crazy. And then we flew around the corner to James's because they were waiting for us, and they were just wonderful. They were really so kind. And, you know, after having a baby, I still had the bump, and I sobbed in the waiting room. I sobbed while they examined me. So, you know, they could tell I was upset. I just couldn't believe I was back here again in this carry on of papilloma, you know.
Was it fear of what was ahead, or was it disappointment over the kind of lost innocence of that, you know, those early weeks? Or what was the main feeling then?
That is a wonderful question. That's really a beautiful question. I think it was the loss. It was the loss of those few weeks. We were heading into Christmas as well. Theo was born in late November, and it kind of sucked the joy out of it a bit, to be honest. It did, like, you know, like, thanks very much, like, and the phone was ringing good, oh, like, come on now, you have to go up and get to hospital now, and we have to get to the roots of this, and come on now. And I'm like, it's Christmas week, and my parents were coming over from the west, they were going to have Christmases, so I was trying to get turkeys and food in, and my husband was brilliant, but we were, you know, that rush of time of year and a new baby, and it was like, yeah, I actually can't deal with this at the minute, like, you know, it's just too much. And I couldn't deal with it anyway. It wasn't a defense thing. Like, I say this with gratitude to the medical staff, right, or with respect, I should say, but I had to kind of let them know and educate them. Like, I know they know this, but I had to remind them on some level, like, look, folks, I actually can't have surgery now because I'm full of milk. I've just had a baby.
Yeah.
You know, and I suppose they were concerned for me because the lump was so massive, or palpable. You know, it was a sizable lump, that those words. And that, you know, I'm sure they were like, whoa, we've never seen this before, you know, what's this all about? Need to get her in, need to get her sorted. And I really appreciated their concern, but I was like, I can't go and do that with you now because I'm full of milk. And I rang my consultant in Vincent's, who had worked me in the first papilloma, and he just happened to be in the room when I rang his secretary, and I was blah, 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 blah down the phone, like telling the tale, like they didn't even know I had a second child. I was blah, blah, blah down the phone.
Yeah.
And he just said through his secretary, Deirdre needs space, and we can deal with that in the spring. go and enjoy your baby. And it was like somebody just took a big weight off my shoulders and said, I'll deal with that in March or in the spring. Yeah. You go and enjoy your maternity leave and your beautiful baby. And it was lovely, Linnea. I was grateful for that. I don't know if it happened on Christmas week, probably did, or after Christmas, probably after Christmas, but it was lovely to have that, you know, to be given. Just, it was like, ooh, okay, I can relax for a moment, you know, because there's nothing I can do. Yeah.
And then eventually you went on to have a lobectomy again.
Yes.
But am I right in saying that there was talk then of a mastectomy?
Correct. So my memory is a little bit blurred around when mastectomy came into the conversation. I believe it was at this juncture, actually. I think so. Maternity leave, it's the summertime, getting kiddies ready in the morning, look down, I see blood on my top. Okay. It was like lighty, kind of watery, pinkishy blood, kind of diluted blood, kind of looked speckled. And I was like, oh no, like, you've got to be kidding me, like, not again. So, trek up to Dublin again, and my consultant said, look, dear, you need to have a mastectomy. Like, we can't keep having lumpectomies after lumpectomies. You know, I'll take this out. Like, that needs to come out. You know, it's bleeding, and we'll address that now. But you know, if this continues in the future, that's what we're looking at. And I look, you know, I put my hand across the table. You know, I leaned across the table at him. You know, rested my arm, and I looked across at him, and I said, look, I kind of figured you were going to say that to me today. You know.
Yeah.
It didn't come as a massive shock, because how much flesh tissue can you take, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
And did he have any sense of, like, if this happens twice, it's likely that it'll happen again, or this is happening for any particular reason? Or was it just more of a kind of common sense, if it does happen again, like, we just can't keep going like this?
That's a good question. I think I mean, he's got his own mind, but, like, maybe he was grappling with it as well. It was quite, like, I do remember saying to him, look, do you have anyone on your books like me? And he said, no, do you know? So, and, like, I was mad to know what was causing it. Like, I figured it was pregnancy related, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe something was there and the pregnancy exacerbated it. Maybe it was pregnancy related, and maybe some tissue was left behind, papilloma tissue. Who knows? I don't know. It doesn't really matter now either way. But he did say to me, I do remember saying, look, papilloma are common. You're just a bit out of the norm, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, like, I think the unusualness of it, maybe, was the, for want of a better word, the aggressiveness of how quickly it came back. You know, you'd scooped it away and then it's back.
So he suggested the mastectomy.
Yeah,
and
he did,
went off to have a think.
I did. Or... I did have a think. Yeah. I did. And, you know, I had lots of, even a lovely other doctor there, she was like, what are you talking about having a mastectomy? There's no malignancy. Like, no, like, you know, so you had, like, the two angels on your, you know, on your shoulders. And I don't want to say devil, because neither of them, it was all good. Everyone was good and went well. And you had friends and family going, look, you've got to get on with this now, and you take care of that and get that sorted, like an NCT, like, go in, get it done, and you'll be grand. And others saying, wait a minute, like, oh, I wouldn't be rushing into that, like, you're fine and you look great, and I felt really fit, and I was eating well, and I was taking care of myself really well, and I felt really well in myself, and I thought, I'm actually fine. And I had a dent in my breast from the lumpectomies. You talked earlier about how I felt, you know, this, I was three lumpectomies in now with a scoopy kind of concave, is that the right word?
Yeah.
You could kind of rest your knuckles nearly, like, kind of, and I was so, I could have lived with that for the rest of my life. I was happy out. It, like, it was my breast and it was faulty, but it was mine. You know, and I was okay about it, you know, and, but if you do read up about papilloma, there is, you can read different research on it. I've read different papers. One will say, look, there isn't, it doesn't necessarily lead to cancer. Then others will say there is, it increases the risk. You know, so you've got to be a grown up and you've got to be sensible and you've got to weigh up everyone. I had all the information. It was about making an informed decision now, and I did take my time, and I was delighted that I had that time to take, and I'm grateful for that, because other women and other people who are ill may not have that or do not have that, so that was a good thing to have. And time is a healer as well. It allows us to filter information, it allows us to process, it allows us to rest, and I took that time and it was good. And when I did make the decision and when I did do it, I remember my breast consultant saying, look, I'm glad you took the time. It was good for you. And I kind of apologized to him, like saying, look, I'm sorry. I was a bit of a difficult one. Like, we had a barney about it. Like, you know, you need to have it. Why? I don't want to. Back and forth. And he was like, look, it's a big decision. Like, and it was good that you did it psychologically, that you took that time. That doesn't mean it made it any easier, but I came to the fore saying, okay, let's book the date, let's go now, you know, because I had to weigh up, like I said, the pros and the cons, the risks, the possible risks, you know.
And when you came to that decision and said that to him, how did you feel?
I wanted to ring him back and cancel. I did. It was very funny. I set the date and I went, you know what? I think I'll leave it. I've changed my mind. I know I'm being a bit flippant now, but I don't mean to sound glib about it, but it was so unreal, you know, it was so unreal because I was so well and because I didn't have cancer. It felt mad, you know, in some ways it felt a bit kind of like on the edge, you know. So it wasn't like, God, run now, rush now, quick, get that out of you. I had a healthy breast that just had unusual benign growths, you know.
And you told me before that that all of this felt like quite a lonely ride, so to speak.
Because for that very reason
that, you know, that you didn't have cancer, but you've been through all of this. And you went through with the mastectomy in the end.
Yes. I didn't have cancer. I went through a mastectomy in the end. And yeah, it was a sorrowful road. It was a lonely old trot in that I didn't have anyone to compare and contrast with, you know, other than people who had breast cancer. And I didn't fit in their groups because I didn't have cancer. But I do, obviously, there are women with breast cancer that have mastectomy, so yes, I did meet women who were very kind and very good to me, but in the process of it, going through it, it was a bit of an unusual one. It was a funny one, and it was a lonesome one because I didn't have anyone like me, you know.
And once you had the mastectomy, what's it been like since then, in terms of, I suppose, the emotional roller coaster of it all and the journey with your body and everything?
It's been hard. I do find it hard. And it is. I suppose that loneliness is still there because people, if you do speak to people about it, like, or if people ask me about it, I'm very open to talk about it, like, you know, within reason. And, you know, with people who I do, if I say it to someone or if it comes up in a medical appointment or something, it's like, oh, did you have cancer? No. Oh, right. What was it then? It was that, the whole story all over again. All right. Okay. And then they can't really make sense of it, you know.
It's almost like because you didn't have cancer, you're lucky, or you're meant to feel lucky, maybe.
Yeah, and I was lucky in that way, obviously. But I paid a price as well for that, you know. And that it's a sore one. But look, I don't want to be a tale of woe either. Like, but it is a loss and it is hard. But I got great reconstruction and, you know, I'm happy. But it is a piece of you that's gone. You know, it's that bit of you that was yours and now it's gone. And I did ask for my breast back, which sounds bizarre.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. And the plastic surgeon said to me that that's really common. That's really common. Right. Yeah, it's very hard. That a mastectomy is a huge piece for a woman, and it's leaves quite a marked feeling in your mind. It's trauma. And she said, I remember it was really kind what she said to me. She said, look, whatever about taking a breast that was full of cancer, but yours was healthy. Do you know, it wasn't like 100% healthy, let's be honest, but in terms of malignancy, it wasn't in that box. Yeah. Do you know? And just to say, I suppose I can go back a little bit, just after the third lumpectomy, I did have a little bit of pain, and I thought it was just scar tissue, and the radiologist thought it was scar tissue, and she didn't see anything on the scan, the ultrasound. But she sent me for an MRI, and there was five little papillomas. This again, I wasn't pregnant, do you know? So look, I was up against it, you know, like how much of a gamble was I prepared to take and hurt people around me? You know, like, I've a lovely family and a really good husband, you know, so I did what I needed to do. And look, I have my health and I'm happy, you know, and I'm alive and I'm here. And I have to kind of come, one of the doctors said it is an assimilation. You have to come and assimilate it to your body. You know, it's part of me now, you know.
Yeah.
And it could be worse. Could have been worse, you know.
Do you have any advice for another woman who might be going through something similar?
I have two things I'd like to say. Is one to the person, I suppose, is I suppose everyone has their own way of coping. For me, it was I found I needed to quieten my mind, you know, and I had all the information, and I found being around animals really helped, and being around horses in particular. So it's finding what resource, whether it's within you or around you, that helps you to weigh up the decision. You know, and some people do like to talk and want to kind of bounce it back and forth. So it's whatever works for you. And then the second piece that I wanted to say is it can't really all be on the woman either, that there isn't a benign breast support that I know of in this country. I know may be tagged on the end of a leaflet at the breast clinic, but we're different. And they're different to us, and respectfully so. So I know in other countries they have benign breast disease organizations, and maybe by talking about my own experience might be a starting point for that here, you know, for other women going forward, you know. That may help.
That was Dee Nocton on Bits of Me. You can follow Bits of Me on Instagram at bitsofme_podcast and on Twitter at bitsofme_pod. If you would take a second to rate Bits of Me on Apple Podcasts and maybe even give it a short review, that would be massively appreciated. If you want to help cover the costs and keep these conversations going, go to patreon.com/bitsofme. Thanks for listening.